To come back and be with us again. Amen.
Amen.
And we pray that you will consider making St. Timothy your church home. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. We'll give you an opportunity to do that in just a minute. Yes. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. I want to not prolong the time, but have you take a look. Those of you who have been sojourning with us,
Yes. You
know we have been working our way through the Epistle to the Romans. And today we are still in that 15th chapter. I don't think we can break out of it until one more installment after this.
Yes.
Amen. Because God is really dealing with me on some things in this Epistle to the Romans. Amen. And so we're going to go right ahead in the 15th chapter. I'd like to call your attention to Romans 15:21-27 today for our text for the message. And we're going to look at a supplemental text in the Old Testament, which we like to call the previous testament. Not really old, because God's word can't be old, can it? Amen. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the Eternal One. Amen. But it's in the way he dispensed it. We'll call it the Older Testament versus the New Testament, the Newer Testament. Amen. Which is Jeremiah chapter 9. Just a few verses there for us to consider this morning. Jeremiah 9:23-26. Amen. We're going to ask the deacons to go ahead and have a reading. And we'd like to ask you to stand during the reading of the word. Amen. Give you time to stretch your legs if they're not already stretched from the praise. Let the blood circulate just a little bit before we take up the word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The deacons are in charge.
Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt and Judah and Edom, mm-hmm, and the children of Ammon and Moab, and all that are in the utmost corners,
yep,
that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart.
Mm. Amen. Amen. The older covenant to the people of God, the blessed word of God. Amen. Now the New Testament reading.
But as it is written, to whom it was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way bitter reward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of these spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for the reading of his blessed word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And we're going to use this topic here today, fulfilling my peace in the gospel mission.
All right.
Now notice this is not P-E-A-C-E. This right. is P-I-E-C-E.
Yes.
Fulfilling my peace in the gospel mission. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Lord God, we bless you and praise you this morning. Father, we lift up your name because you are excellent in all the heavens and in all the earth, and especially because you are excellent in our lives, God. We thank you, Lord God, for all of your power, all your mercy, all your forgiveness, all the things you have shown, O God, all of the works of your hands, O God. You have left the heavens and the earth to declare your glory and the firmament to show your handiwork. We see it all around us and we're in awe of your majesty every day, O God. And so right now, Lord, we ask that you be in the midst of this place, be in the midst of each person here. Get into our minds, O God, and circulate your word into our being, God, by your Holy Spirit. Bless each and every ear, O Lord, that's in the place that it might be filled with the word of God and that it might produce fruit in every life, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. We bless you right now, God. We rebuke all the powers of darkness that will stand against any of these your people right now, O God, in the name of Jesus. And we ask you to bless our minds and our understanding as we partake of your word. Take the preacher out the way and let the Holy Spirit have his way. We give you the power, God, to bless in this place. We just release ourselves, God, to you right now. We put no obstacle in your way. Oh, Lord, that your word might come in as a rushing mighty wind and fill us, oh, God, that we might be filled with joy. We ask it in the righteous name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and majesty, dominion and power right now in the church. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Fulfilling my peace in the gospel mission. This is a terribly important statement because I believe that each and every believer in God has something to do for God in life. God didn't save us just to be spectators. Christianity is not a spectator sport, if you will.
Amen.
It's a reason why God chose us. There is a reason. You have a part and a role to play. And our lives are a tapestry of different things that have happened over the entire course of our life, ever since we were born into the world. God said he superintended to your birth. Did you know that? The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That God crafted you in your mother's womb to be the person that you are. And he brought you forth into the world, even though he waited until the time when you accepted him in order to give you opportunity to experience his grace, to experience his mercy, to experience the beauty and the majesty of his creation. And he was forming you for a reason. Every person was formed and brought into the world with a specific purpose. And I believe we all have a piece to play in the gospel mission.
All right.
Now, we know we've been talking about this in Romans 15, and it really throughout the whole epistle to the Romans. Paul started talking about how God had sent the gospel into the world. He started off with the Gentiles before, and of course, we're going to define that for somebody who may not understand. There are only two types of people. Let's say before Christ came, God considered the world as two different types of people. Those are Jews and Gentiles, and of course, the Gentiles preceded the Jews, and it was not till God sanctified Abraham and began to work in his life and produce a people for his own possession that the Jews came into existence.
Amen.
And so God was separating Jews out of the Gentiles to be a people for his own possession.
Yes.
And so this went on for many years from the time of Abraham until God elevated the Jews into the kings of the earth, if you will. There were other kings in the Gentiles, obviously. But we see that in the line of Abraham, that God moved from Abraham clear on up to King David. You can see that in Matthew, the first chapter, and also in the Chronicles. If you take a look in the first Chronicles, it tracks the lineage. You wonder about all those who begot going through the Bible that you kind of look over them and say, well, let me skip that part and move on down to something else. Well, that was just showing you a line of people that God started that came to be known as the Jews. Israel, they were called, the sons of Israel. They came out of Abraham. And so God was establishing them in order to give the world his word, which was one major purpose. Not only the word, but also to bless us with a different and better way of living by following his word. When you walk in God's word, God is giving you a better way to do things. He's preventing you from decay like all the Gentiles tend to do. Do you know that if we're left alone, if God doesn't do anything in our lives, we tend to go downhill. And we tend to go from bad to worse. But God doesn't want that to happen. So God has always been on a mission of mercy in order to spare some people. He wants to spare you from what you would do if you just were left to yourself. Because ever since sin came into the world, man has tended to go down in a downward spiral. And so God knew that. So it was his idea to separate Abraham out of the Gentiles and make a special type of people who came to be known as the circumcision. Okay, and circumcision, we're going to talk a little about that this morning. We're not going to go in great detail. But the reason that's important is because it is the cutting away of the flesh. And the flesh is that thing which has been infected with sin. It's not the body you live in. It's the way you think and the way you operate and the way you reason and the way you feel about things in the world. You see? And that's why the Bible says the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. For the words that I speak to you, God says, they are spirit and they are life. And see, he wants you to understand, it's not your body. The body is fine. Jesus occupied a human body. He said, it says in John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So it's not the body that's the problem. The body might be where the problems manifest, where they stick, like we might get stuck on a thing in the body, because the body is sensual. It does have, it perceives stimulus from outside and all of that and from inside. It has desires and emotions and will and all those kind of things. But that's not the whole issue. The mind is in control of the body. And our way of thinking is the thing that God would call the flesh. So these two types of people, keep them in your mind, Gentiles and Jews. The Jews were separated. They were called circumcised. God actually did have them do a physical operation, which is the cutting away of the flesh, in order to show you that there's some problem with the flesh. And this was done to the male children, basically, on the eighth day it came to be done. And so it was used as a symbol for us to understand there's something about the flesh that we need to cut away. There's some things about the flesh that need to cease in order for us to be holy in the world. So God was giving that metaphorically as a symbol to Abraham. And it was done to Abraham when he was 99, not on the eighth day, and to his son Ishmael at the age of 13. And then it came to be understood through the Jews that it would be done from the time of Moses on the eighth day. And that was the day on which Jesus was circumcised. So this whole idea of circumcision has to do with your mindset and the way you perceive spiritual things. It has to do with your acuity to the righteous things that God wants to build in your life. And so what I want you to see in this message today, Paul was adjusting to his role as the apostle to the Gentiles. He understood after he resisted the whole idea of the gospel and Jesus Christ being Savior, he hated it. He went down to try to destroy the church. And God showed him that he was wrong, because all through my word, I've been trying to show the Gentiles mercy. In fact, I have shown them mercy. Even though the Jews were my people, I continued to show mercy to the Gentiles. And so we see, I'm not going to go through all the times in the Old Testament that it talks about the Gentiles, but it starts all the way back in the book of Genesis in the 10th chapter. That's how we know Abraham came out of the Gentiles and was called to be basically a people separated away from the Gentiles. And it didn't happen until three generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they were multiplied into 12 tribes and became the sons of Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So what I want to zoom in on here just to help us understand is Paul was in a situation where he hated the church. He thought it was a misfit. Something is wrong with this. Because the reason why is because they're saying that God sent Jesus, and only by Jesus can a person be saved. It doesn't have anything to do with their personal works, things that they do. It has to do with faith in him and his blood, his crucifixion. That Jesus was put to death on a cross, Saul thought. He said he couldn't be the one that God sent. Why would God let the Messiah be crucified? And then he didn't know, right in the Old Testament scripture, God had written that Messiah would come, would live a spotless life, would be misjudged, would be crucified, would be buried, and would rise from the dead after 3 days and nights. All of it was concealed in the Old Covenant, as we say, that Older Testament. So when Saul of Tarsus got the message finally, he was on his way to persecute the church, riding down the Damascus Road, and God himself, Jesus Christ, appeared to him in a light that was brighter than the noonday sun. And it was so bright that he fell from his beast to the earth. and cried out. Well, you'll see this in Acts chapter 9. Who art thou, Lord? Because he knew it was God. He understood this experience is God himself coming to me, and he knew it. The people who were with him didn't understand the experience. They heard a noise, but they didn't discern the voice. And Jesus spoke out of the bright light and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me, Saul? And he says, who art thou, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. That one that you don't think is Messiah, I am in fact the Messiah. I am God in the flesh. I have come to pay the debt for your sin. All of this was communicated to Saul while he was on the Damascus Road. Saul was circumcised in the flesh, but in his heart he was not circumcised. In other words, he could not hear the voice of God. He did not have a spiritual mind set on God. And so basically he had to be adjusted to become spiritual so that he could actually hear the voice of God. Do you know if you let the flesh operate in your mind and you do not release yourself to God's spirit, that you will not hear the voice of the Spirit of God? Because you can read the Bible. Saul knew the Bible back and forth, but he did not know Christ, that he was the Messiah. Many of the Jews were in that same boat. They understood Messiah was supposed to be coming, but because of their own flesh and their own mind, they resisted God when God sent his son. God knew they would do that, that their ears would be dull, that they would be uncircumcised. They would not be able to understand the truth. And so Jeremiah even has the prophecy of that here as we look briefly at a few verses. Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. In other words, there's nothing that you can do with human wisdom or nothing you can do with physical strength to ever make yourself right with God. Not even with riches. Notice the C part. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. You can't buy your way into right standing with God. You don't have enough money. You could own the whole world, Jesus said, and lose your soul. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So you can't have enough to purchase righteousness from God. You see? Because God doesn't work that way. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So no matter what you have, it won't buy your way into righteousness, into a good standing with God. He says, but let him that glorieth, if you want to boast, in other words, boast about this, that you understand and know me, God says. Your relationship with me is the most important thing you have. You don't have to have any money. You can come with nothing and boast in me and you have something. You got something better than the most rich person on earth. He says, if you want to glory, glory in the fact that you know me and understand that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You want me to, do you want to get my ear, get hooked up with me and have a relationship with me. Desire to have, be on your face before me. And I will lift you up. Humble yourself in my sight. And I will lift you up, God says. And notice this. He says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Now, that sounds like a paradox. What about the covenant people? They're circumcised. You're going to punish them with the uncircumcised. Why? Notice what he says. He gives the answer here. He says, Egypt and Judah. That's two stark opposites. Egypt was where the Lord bought the covenant people out of Egypt to set them apart, to sanctify them for his own possession. And Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab, these are people who were against the covenant people. Right? And all that are in the uttermost corners, no matter where they are, that, in other words, all the Gentiles that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised. What that means is they don't have a relationship with me, the mighty God. They're trying to satisfy me by their flesh, by idols, by different types of things they have set up. They don't have the relationship with me, the true and living God. And they're out here playing church, if you will. But they're not right. Because you can't be right unless you come to me, God says. And I'm going to circumcise all of you all who are playing church right along with the wicked that don't know me at all. So he wants us to be for real in our relationship with him. We can't play church. That's not going to really help us. You know, we got to be right, come to God on his terms, not on ours. And so he says, from the uttermost corners of the earth and all the nations that are uncircumcised. Now notice this, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart. It's not your physical flesh. Do I have your heart? But what was that? Can we talk? Is that what Joan Rivers used to say? Does God have your heart? You know, does he have your heart? Do you know God? You have that personal relationship with him that you understand that he knows everything about you? And he loves you anyway. He loves you anyway, just like you are. He knows your most intimate secrets that you would never want to utter in the public. You know, but he loves you and he knows you. You know, but do you know him? Do you seek him? Do you seek his face? Or, you know, is your heart broken over the things in your life that are not right? Do you cast your care upon him? Go to him day and night. Lord God, I need your help. I get on my face before you because I'm hopeless without you. And you develop and culture a relationship with God. And God knows if you're doing that. He knows if you have that right relationship with him. He knows if you cry out to him day and night. You see, you can't fool the Most High God. You can't fake it till you make it. That won't work. It's got to be right. You got to come to him and understand that he loves you. He knows all about all of my junk, everything that I would never say. I would never want to talk to anybody about it. He knows all about it. You know, and the fact is, he loves you anyway. I accept you just like you are. You don't have to come in and walk around and play church. No, I know you. I love you. I sent my son to the cross. You want to know how serious am I? I took on flesh and allowed men to spit in my face in order to deliver you out of your sin. I let them rip my beard right out of my face. They mocked me. They talked about me. They beat me. And they flogged me all night long. And I shed unlimited blood for you. You know, I was lifted up between heaven and earth. I took the very brunt of everything they could throw out. All the demons of hell came against me. And I hung there between heaven and earth and bled until everything that God the Father had said had been accomplished. I did that for you. Anybody else would have bled to death on the way up to Calvary. But Jesus took it. He took the beating, the flogging, the humiliation, the disgrace. He took it all. That was no joke. That was serious. And this was done in the public in broad daylight. God blacked out the sun. It was so ugly, God just blacked out the whole sun so that the whole earth was dark. The Bible says darkness was upon the face of the whole earth while Jesus hung out on the cross. He did that for us. So why should we play church? That's my question. You have a peace to fulfill in the gospel mission. God has a reason why he called you. He didn't just call you to waltz in and out the church here and there and, you know, act like it's not that big of a thing. You know, he wants you to come in and become absorbed in the truth. What can I do to be a part of the force putting this good news into the world? To touch the lives of other people who don't know how good God is. We have to fulfill our own peace in the gospel mission. Saul of Tarsus, he was the last person. He was so uncircumcised in heart, he was going to obliterate the church.
Yes, he was. Teach on.
Think about that just a minute there. And then what? God turned him around 180 degrees. He ended up writing half of the New Testament. He was against Christ. He hated the church. He agreed with the stoning of Stephen in Acts 7. You know, and yet God took a man like that, totally against him, turned him around 180 and said, I'm going to send you on down to a street called Straight. Go down there and find out what you ought to do. And he went and he gave the church authority to tell Saul what he was supposed to do. They baptized him and basically covered him and prayed with him. And so he went on a mission for the gospel of Christ. God said, I had separated you from your mother's womb. From the womb, I separated you to be an apostle to the Gentiles and to stand before kings for my sake and to suffer many things. You know, and so God is saying that to somebody here today. In fact, all of us have a mission. We have a piece to play in the gospel mission. And I'm praying today that the Holy Spirit is going to deliver to you an urgency in your spirit. About what it is that he is calling you for. Why did he call you? Why didn't he just let you go on in an uncircumcised mind in your sin like you were doing? He stopped me right in my tracks. I'm going to tell you my story just a little bit. I was in the midst of my sin, fulfilling my desires, doing what I wanted to do. And I was really enslaved. I was working. God had blessed me with a job, gave me a family. I was really doing okay as far as folks on the surface knew. I had a pretty good appearance among my relatives and my friends. They didn't know about the darkness and the ugliness that was going on in my household and in my mind. You see, and God had blessed me with a family, a wife, children, a good job. I looked pretty good on the outside. I was playing the game. You know, on drugs every weekend. On drugs every weekend. Paid just enough bills to keep them from getting cut off. And I was going from week to week, just wasting away my life. You know, and God came right in the midst of that ugliness and said, I know just what you need. And he allowed me to get in some trouble. The Bible says tribulation worketh patience. And patience hope. So God knew, he knew what you need. I got to get you straight. It's time for you to get on the street called straight. And so he let some trouble come in my life because he knew what would happen. He knew what was going to happen. You know what? As soon as it happened, my grandmother, who died in 65, I could hear her voice when I was riding to the jail after I was arrested for getting in trouble. I could hear her voice saying, you know, the only one that can help you is the Lord. And I don't even know how I could. I just heard her say that. And you know what? I called on the Lord. I called on him out of my heart. I said, Lord, I need you. I can't fix this. It's messed up. It's tore up. It's ripped up. It's no good. And you know what? He answered my cry. I didn't even really know he did. But they took me through. I went through the trouble. All of that. I had made up in my mind right there in that spot while I was sitting there and they were rolling my fingers in ink. I made up my mind. I will not go down like this. I will not. God is going to help me out of this. And I had called on God. He started to work in my life. I had no idea what would happen when I got back in the atmosphere with all the people that were doing drugs like I was doing. Am I going to be weak and give in like I did every other time? Or am I going to now have some new strength? You know what I found out? When I made up my mind and called on God, he came in my life. I got back in the presence of those people. I told the one guy, I said, hey, I'm done with that. I can't ever do that anymore. He looked at me, and I believe it was Satan. He said, oh, you'll be back. Took a big hit off the pipe. Blew smoke right in my face. Like, wow, you know, boy, it hit me like a big cloud. It looked like, just came over and off my head. Like, wow, you know what it used to be? As soon as I smelt that drug, that's it. Give me a hit. I got to have some. You know what I did? I said, man, I got to go. And I got up and I went. And when I was going down the steps, that's when I knew he set me free. I'm free now. I don't have to do this anymore. And he was saying to me, you'll be back. I said, oh, no. See, I'm not coming back. And you know what? I never went back. God fixed it. He said, nope, that's it. That chapter is closed. I have shut a door that no man can open. Now I'm going to open a door that no man can shut. And I didn't even realize he was sending me through. You know what I did? I started back to church. I wasn't even in the church yet. You know what? You may not be in the church. Don't make any difference. God is everywhere. You might not be the member of a church. But if you call up on him right now, out of the bottom of your heart, tell him, Lord, I need you right now. Help me right now. He can break those chains right off of you and set you free. Saul had an experience like that. He thought, oh, I am a Pharisee. I'm at the top of my religious order, and this church thing, that's no good. Jesus said, no, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know, and he said, oh, who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, that one you persecute. But in either case, we see he was uncircumcised in his mind and in his heart. And so God turned him around. Didn't make any difference how far away from God he is. The good news for me and you doesn't make any difference how you are right now. Whatever it is you're dealing with, you might not have an inkling how I'm going to get free. I can tell you one way you're going to get free. Call on the Lord right now. Call up on the Lord right now. Call up on the Lord right now. He'll break those chains right off of you. He'll set you free. And he'll start you off to let you understand how you can fulfill your peace in the gospel mission. You have a place. It might be in your family. It might be on your job. It might be in your school. It might be in your life somewhere. God has something for you to do. And it's bigger than what you know. And you're only at the beginning of it. If you're calling on God right now, you're at the beginning of it. But God is going to keep you moving forward. So Jeremiah says what we need to do is glory in the fact that we know the Lord.
Yes.
Nothing else. Not in my might, not by power, not by any of these things, silver nor gold.
Yes.
None of that. Not my position, who I am, any of that. But by the fact that I know you, the Most High.
Right.
So now Paul came to realize this, and he became very active in setting forth the gospel. Look at this, Romans 15:21. He quotes Isaiah here, 52. This is a rough quotation of Isaiah 52. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. See, so God prophesied of a time when people who never heard of him, they didn't have his word all their lives. They weren't brought up in the word. They heard about the good news that God loves you so much. He gave his son for you. He died on the cross to set your account right with God right now. You, all you have to do is believe in him and you will not perish, but have everlasting life. God did that to demonstrate his love for you. I love you this much that I give my son for you to make your account right so you and I can have a close personal relationship together. Saul came to understand that. Now notice what his result is. For which cause? Now he's saying the result of this verse from Isaiah. He says, I have been much hindered from coming to you. You know what? When you start walking with God, guess what's going to come? Hindrance. Something's going to try to stop you. Don't you go down to that St. Timothy down there. They might tell you the truth. And you might get freer than you are now. Stay away from there. You need to go over to X, Y, or Z. You got something else you need to do today. There's going to be hindrance that comes in your life. Because he does not want you to hear the word. That God loves you and he's going to break every chain and set you free into the glorious liberty of the children of God. He's going to take all the stain away and make your life clean. He's going to give you instructions out of his word week by week so you know how to walk in a way that's well-pleasing in his sight. And so Paul says, not, everything didn't become roses. He said, I was much hindered from coming to you. But now having no more place in these parts, he went everywhere he could with the gospel and having a great desire these many years. This was not 2 days of hindrance. This was years. You might have years of trouble. You know, but the Lord said, I'll be with you in trouble. Even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. No matter what you're going through, I am with you. You are not by yourself. My Holy Spirit is with you in everything you're going through. So Saul is not mad here. He says, hey, I've been hindered from coming to you, but now having no other place, he says here, in these parts, having a great desire these many years to come to you, whensoever I take my journey, I'm not worried about when, because I have a peace in God's gospel mission. God is moving me. You know what he had already told him? You're going to go to Rome and appear before Caesar. So he knew that. I don't know what's going to happen in between, but I know when I get through, I'm going to Rome. Why? Because the Spirit of God spoke that to me and told me I'm going through. You know, when God has given you a mission, guess what? All the devils in hell cannot stop it. All the devils in the White House can't stop it. All the devils at City Hall cannot stop it. All the devils anywhere in the world cannot stop it. When God puts you on a mission, you're going, baby, whatever it takes. However long it takes, you're going through. You can trust in the Lord and count on it no matter what. I don't care what Satan says. I don't care what anybody else says. The flesh cannot stop it. If God told you it's happening, you're going through. So you can count on it. So Paul says, hey, I don't know. That's why he says, whensoever I take my journey. Whenever that is, I know it's coming because God told me I'm going. I will come to you and I will, he says, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward. In other words, afterwards, by you. In other words, I'm going to ask you to prepare now to send me on because I got to go to Spain after I leave you. So he was already knowing I'm on a mission. The devil is against me. The flesh is against me. The world is against me. But you know what? God is for me. He said already, if God is for me, who can be against me? See, if God is for you, who can be against you? See, not successfully. They can be against you, but they ain't going to win. They're not going to win you going through. Because God is with you. He said neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So whatever he gives you to do, you can do it. You're going to make it. You're going to come through. You might get slowed down. You might get hindered. But you're going through. Amen. Oh, just thank God right there. Take about 3 seconds and thank God. I'm going through. The devil can't touch this. What I want you to understand is when Paul knew that his ministry to the Gentiles was written in prophecy, it was in the prophecy of Isaiah. He began to understand that his work of spreading the gospel throughout the lands of the Gentiles was of the utmost of fulfilling his part in the gospel mission. And that every reason he had been born for was unfolding right before his eyes, all to the glory of God. See, that's the way it's going to be for you. You're going to have an aha moment.
Yeah.
Aha.
Yeah.
I know what I'm here for. I understand why I'm here. I understand my piece in this whole puzzle. You know what? A puzzle is incomplete if one piece is missing.
Amen.
You know, have you ever had a puzzle and you're sitting there with a bunch of parts? You go, I got about six left here now. And where do they go? You don't know how to fit them in. You got to work on that thing and strategize in your mind. You know what? But God is going to give you exactly what your piece is in fulfilling the gospel mission. You have a role, every one of you. So being led by the Holy Spirit, Paul also carried a special poor saint offering. He had been collecting an offering from the Gentiles in Macedonia and other places. Philippi sent him an offering, the Bible says, in order to take it back to the poor saints at Jerusalem. The reason is the church originated out of Jerusalem. Those saints financed putting the gospel out to go to the ends of the earth. Because Jesus said, go ye first into all the world, he told them. But he said, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth.
Yes.
So they left out of there, taking the gospel all these places.
Amen.
Every letter you see here written by Paul, you see a letter to who? The Ephesians, the Philippians, the Thessalonians, all these different Gentiles, Corinthians. You see, he's getting out there. Look at all the travel he did, getting this good news that God is no respecter of persons. He loves you just like you are. You don't have to have a history with him. Start one right now. Start a relationship with him today. Call on him right now and see won't he take you through. So all of this, he said, since you all financed getting the gospel this far, now he took offering from there to take it back to support them because they were now poor and they were being ostracized and rejected by the religious leaders and also the Romans. Where the church of Jerusalem was hurting. They needed help, so Paul was collecting an offering to take it back to the poor saints at Jerusalem from the Gentiles. You see that? These were the original recipients of the gospel who were now suffering because of their faith in Jesus Christ and with carnal blessings and a good news that they spread the gospel into many Gentile nations. So now Paul says it's only right for you to give them a blessing from what you have to help support them. And so that was part of his mission, was to return to the church at Jerusalem and help them with the offering that he had collected from the Gentiles.
Amen.
Now think about that. Other people are normally, when you bless them with good news, it's only right that they help support you in your putting out the gospel.
That's right. Amen.
And so that's how the church has worked and survived all these years. The people who have been blessed with the good news have come out of their own pockets and supported the gospel to go to others. Why? Because we know the will of God.
Amen.
This is how you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and thieves do not break through nor steal. You see, because you continue to support the ministry of the gospel going out because you know God wants it to continue until the trumpet sounds. We don't know when that'll be. It could be at any moment. I want to let you know I'm charged up with the idea that at any moment Jesus Christ could return. You know, you should be charged up with that. It'll help you and help keep you clean.
Amen.
You know, like that one song, God is. God is the joy and the strength of my life, you see. And I want to, he says, I want to go with him when he comes back. I've come too far and I'll never turn back. You have that determination to keep moving forward because God is with you. So Saul got that, and he was moving with that power in the back of his mind no matter what kind of obstacles came into his life. Now look back at this real quick. We're almost done. He says here he goes to Jerusalem to minister. This is verse 25. Unto the saints. He says, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem, and it hath pleased them verily, and they are debtors, or they are. In other words, we're indebted to you because you told us it was through you that the gospel came to us. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. See that? So he went into, that was his mission here as we look at chapter 15. So let us ask ourselves the question, what can we do to be certain that we are fulfilling our piece in the puzzle of the gospel mission, knowing that God has saved us for such a time as this? Look at the mess we're in now. What can we do? You know, as the church, we are the modern church. You know what? The church is a lot different now than it used to be. Some of you are pretty young who are here today, and some of y'all have seen some of how the church has changed over the years. You know, the church has gotten off of Christocentricity. That's one of my words. In other words, Christ is not in the center of everything in a lot of the church. Now, they talk about Christ, but he is not the center. You know, when the church began, all you find is the gospel going forth. That's the main thing. You know what? Because we only start people with the gospel. God, the Holy Ghost, takes them on through, and he finishes it. But you can't be saved without the gospel. So the church now is concerned with all kinds of stuff, all kinds of eclectic nonsense and feel-good kind of stuff. We're not going to talk about sin. We're not going to talk about certain things. You know, but if you don't, how are you going to preach the actual word? And how is God, the Holy Spirit, going to convict and people get saved? Why do you need a gospel if you don't have any sin? You know, the fact is we all have sin. Yeah. And we need to be cleansed. Yeah. And God sent his son to cleanse us. Yeah. And if we trust in him, he will do the work. Yeah. He said, you catch the fish, I'll clean them. Right. But we don't go around cleaning them, but we teach the word. Yeah. And we want to make sure you understand all the word. Who am I to edit God and take out stuff out of his word that he said? If he said it, I'm preaching it. Yeah. And if you don't want to hear it, this is not the place for you. I have to preach it. I am bound by a strong conviction that you have to hear what God said. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I don't know what kind of faith comes if you leave stuff out. That's not the kind of faith you need. You need a tenacious faith that will not take no for an answer. You need a tenacious faith that says, I'm going forward no matter what anybody else says. I'm moving out in God because God has given me a place in the gospel mission. I have a piece to fulfill in his great puzzle. Somewhere my life and all of the stuff in it fits in a spot that's going to help this gospel go forward into the world. See, that's the way you got to start thinking. So where do I plug in? And that's what I want to talk with you about that today. If you're here today and you are not a part of the church, we want to give you an opportunity to become a part of the church.
Yes, we do.
Amen. The church is not the building.
That's right.
The church is the people.
Amen.
The ecclesia, the called out ones.
Yeah.
So if you're here today and you'd like to unite with us, we want to have you come have a seat here on the front row.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Glory,
come on right now. If you're here today. Don't be ashamed. Yeah. The Lord was not ashamed to do what he did. Every time I think about the cross, it's an amazing thing. Think about that. God allowing men, mere men, to take him and treat him that way.
Yeah.
And he did that despising the shame, it says in Hebrews chapter 12.
Yes.
He says there, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith,
yes,
who for the joy that was set before him. See, he looked past that hindrance, that obstacle. The cross was a hindrance. It was an obstacle, but it was a necessity.
That's right.
And it had its place in our salvation and our redemption. Because God did not forgive a wretch like me.
Yeah.
If somebody didn't pay the bill, Jesus said, I'm willing to pay the bill, whatever it takes. I'll take the humiliation, the disgrace, the shame, the degradation.
Yes, Lord.
All of that.
Yes.
You know what? All we would have to do is one thing that happened to him, to anybody here,
And I don't think we can handle it. You would probably crumble up. If somebody just stripped off your clothes and pushed you out the front door into the middle of Dr. King Drive. Love, boy, that's so shameful. You'd probably break down. But he took that and he took the beating. He took being spit on, being mocked, ridiculed, whipped and beaten mercilessly. That we would call it child abuse. And they abused God's son like that. And he did that for you. He endured the cross, the Bible says.
Yes.
Despising the shame. He hated it. You know what we hated when we think about how ugly that was?
That's right.
Here was God, dawned in human flesh. Probably had a perfect body.
Yes.
No flaw in it whatsoever. No sickness. No disease. Just a ripped young man with a perfect body. And here they took him and just flogged and beat him and mutilated him in front of everybody.
Yes.
Talked about him like a dog.
Yes.
Folks say, well, I wash my hands of him and go sit down and watch all this take place. He endured the cross.
Yes.
And he did it for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I hope you won't reject him today. They pressed a crown of thorns into his head. So you a king? Okay, fine. Here, let me crown you. Think about the wickedness in their mind. Then they gave him a reed. Here's your scepter. Piece of bamboo or something. Or a reed from the lake, and then they took and hit him with it. What kind of king are you? Mocking him, laughing at him. See? And took his clothes, stripped his clothes off of him, and gambled for him in the crowd. Now, we can't get to mess up that good suit. Give me that good suit. You don't need it. You go into the cross.
Amen.
And they gambled for his clothes. And it was written in the word. God knew how evil and heinous these people would be.
Let a murderer go
instead of him.
That's right.
He said, here, take the murderer. Which one you want me to let go? Because Pilate was still trying to get off the hook.
That's right.
He said, give us Barabbas, but crucify him.
Right.
And they knew this man was awful.
Yes,
they did. See? But he didn't get humiliated and disgraced. But Jesus did.
Yes,
and he already knew it. He could have stopped the whole thing. This is the part that blows me away. All he had to do is say, that's it, Father. Burn up the whole creation. I'm sick of it. He didn't do it.
Thank you,
Jesus. He endured the cross.
Glory, hallelujah.
And despised the shame. He did it for you, whoever you are. I hope you young children understand Jesus did this for you. He did it so you don't ever have to worry about, can I be right with God, the Most High? The answer is yes, you can. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Amen. Here today, we plead with you to come right now at this time. This is your time.
Yes.
Take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn, so worn through the storm, through the night, hold my hand. Through the night, take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home.
Come right now.
Hallelujah. Glory to his name.
Amen.
Let me stand.
Yes.
I am tired.
Find out where your peace is. Where do you fit?
I get a little weak sometimes. I am one. So. Through the night.
my hand. Take my hand. Take my hand. Precious Lord. And
Derek Lamar.